Today's podcast is such a fun podcast. I get to talk to Camille Baptiste about being a race director and how she got involved in triathlon and how she got involved in starting races and really thinking about the importance of doing shorter races to gain experience for any longer races. And I just really enjoyed speaking with her. I hope you guys do as well. Here we go.
You got like a triathlon set up for your podcast.
You know, I don't ever do anything small, I feel like.
Hey, I get complaints about that as well, about my race experiences. It's just, you know, you just can't go straight. I got to zigzag you and all kind of stuff.
So with the it's an interesting concept. My wife and I were watching David Chang Cooks Live this morning. Have you ever watched mm-hmm. that show on Netflix?
No.
Okay. You know who David Chang is?
Heard of him.
Okay. So he's a celebrity chef. And he always has like actors and comedians on his little food show. And they brought up an interesting concept, which is how do you take criticism and how do you take compliments? And is it the same way that you take them? Right. And so I applied it to myself and thought about it myself because I essentially just have, you know, one-on-one meetings with people all day long. And sometimes they will compliment me. Sometimes they won't. Do the compliments really matter? So when someone complains about your race,
I think the criticisms matter more.
I agree. Compliments don't hold nearly as much weight with me as a person, as an individual, as a criticism formatted in the right way holds more weight with me.
So compliments let me know I did my job.
Sure.
Because I'm producing something, not necessarily my own individual athletic events, but in my bike rides, in the swims, in the races, lets you know I did my job. Criticisms I would actually hold more weight to me than compliments because it speaks to either missed opportunities or whatever message or goal you're trying to achieve didn't hit the mark. Did it not hit the mark for that person or a whole bunch of people? So I think criticisms, they tell you what you need to know. I don't know if that was the right word.
No, I agree. Yes. They let you know where you were deficient. They let you know where maybe there's room for improvement. And that's why it matters more. I agree with you 100%. And how someone says it matters more too. Or, right, if someone comes to me in confidence and says, hey, you know, that was a great, or Swimbox is great. Swimbox is our in-person private lesson school, right? But this might need to be looked at. I appreciate that more than someone going on Google and saying, leaving a negative review and not allowing us to make the adjustment. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but doesn't that mean that this person didn't feel connected or comfortable with coming to you?
Right, and we're going to correct that immediately. And that's why it's more important that they come directly to us than be an anonymous source on a Google review. Does that make sense?
How many negative Google reviews do you
have? None.
Okay,
because good. People feel empowered to directly come to me to fix any issue or any confusion that they might have. It's the way it goes, right? That's a cultural thing, right? You set that culture to go, you can talk to me about anything. Mm-hmm. And that's the important part.
It is. And sometimes people just want to be heard or they don't understand.
Yeah. What are some resonating maybe feedback or criticisms that you've had about some of your events that you've held? And how did you adjust? Did you adjust?
Signage.
Okay, like on the course?
Like on the course signage. I realize now, even though if you have no volunteers, I always supplement with signage, right? But it made me, criticism. There were three signs. One on the ground with a big arrow. Approaching. that a sign turned left and the guy that I had at this corner was already gone. And the person said, hey, I missed my turn. And I guess it ruined their experience. Now, I don't have a race to have money. I don't have a race. I put on a race for a good experience. So it mattered to me. And then where I tell you criticism matters, I realize I don't know where she was positioned on the road. But if she's riding in a pack of 3-4 or riding 3 wide and she's way to the right, she may not have seen those things. And so directional signs that are higher, I needed to supplement. So people don't read maps. I'm a map geek and I'm pissed. So one of the common things is if you don't have 10 people, 10 signs telling them which way to go, they get lost. And I'm mad. I'm like, you got an MBA, a PhD, read the damn map. You're recording this. So, and you spend all of this energy making maps. I don't like to type. So I make videos. I even go down and do course videos. It's like, when you get to this section, it's a big old hole, stay to the right. I mean, and then when it comes, they don't prepare. And then I have board members that goes, I don't know the course. And I'm mad. Mad.
I think you have every right to be mad about that.
Where do you need me to go? Oh, I'm mad. So maps. People not reading maps, not reading athlete guides, especially, and more so for the cycling and for triathlons, not necessarily the running. Different culture, different stage of people, but you're doing epic things, right? And so I think you should pay a little bit more attention. If you don't, then you become a safety hazard to yourself and to others. And that is a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple of weeks ago, I was writing a quick race prep like document. And one of the big, like bold bullet points was, look at the map course or the course for the map. Like, know it inside and out. If you can, you should ride part of it before the race so you're aware of it, right? You should try to do as much as you can to be familiar with that course if you're allowed to be, right, doing those things. So I understand. I think it's – triathlon's got a lot going on, right? I've got to train for all these events. I've got to learn how to do transitions. And I think people lose – they're in the excitement of getting ready for a race. They kind of are so focused on all these things they've been practicing, they lose sight of – sort of the logistics of it and go, I need to make sure I don't transition incorrectly and leave out of the wrong place, which I've seen many times.
And that's why I also think short course, there's not enough short course races. There's not enough prep races. You know, a lot of people jumping in straight into 70.3s and Ironmans where the stakes are higher, the training is longer, the logistics is more, and they haven't even practiced with a sprint or Olympic. Or they've done so many, they have so many 70.3s and so much invested in terms of time and training, they overlook short course. They overlook that on the job training kind of thing. And if you could keep short course simple and short and sweet with the KISS method, then you're able to create experiences that everybody will have more confidence to move forward and get further down the triathlon lineage of races. I don't know how to explain that, but that
there's
a hierarchy.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy. And sometimes I think the excitement or the bucket list concept of like, oh, I have to do an Ironman kind of for some reason overtakes the logical thought. Maybe I should do something shorter so I can kind of get some experience under my belt before I invest all this time and all this money and all this travel and put my family through all that training as well, right? Because everyone you're connected to is going to be affected by you training for an Ironman. The end.
Even the dog. The dog be like, you didn't feed me before you went to swim.
Right? So I've seen it. I've seen people come to me just to do one Ironman, never do a triathlon ever again. And then I have, you know, conversely, people who kind of go gradually and do like their first, like a super short sprint in pool, swim, and then work their way up to something a little bit more than open water. And then they eventually get to an Olympic distance. And then they might do, you know, a half and a full And I've also seen people do fulls and go, you know what? That is way too much training. I'm going to go back down and do something that's more enjoyable. And it is, it seems interesting to me that I've always perceived the culture here in the DC area, because people here are very like A type. The mentality is always geared towards Ironman. And I have had so many athletes feel disenfranchised by that mentality. Like, I just want to do sprints, but I don't get any love. I don't get any attention. I don't get anyone that wants to train with me because they all want to do Ironmans. So is that same for you in Austin and Texas?
It's the same for me. It's the same. I call some of them fast holes. Ironman has come a lot about, it's a culture, has a lot about gear, a lot about distance, a lot of things that turn the people off. I think what's appealing, and I wish we had more of this in triathlon, what's appealing to the 140.6 and the 70.3, they're numbers. Mm. People already know what that is. There's 70.3 and 146. 140.6, it's a double. In running, you have a 5K, a 10K, a half marathon, a marathon, a 13.1, 26.1. People can easily calculate what those numbers are. When you say sprint, when you say Olympic, they don't know what that means. This is a very high level esoteric talk, but they can't equate to that, right? And then when you say sprint, what does that mean? A sprint distance, not a super sprint, but a sprint distance is almost equivalent to the same level of work as a half marathon. Most people now race by time. So they could do two and a half hours. 70.3, most people could probably figure, okay, I could do a shift. I could do 8 hours of work. I could do, because they look at the course limits. So there's numbers. When it comes to sprint and Olympics, it's, you have a bigger sell, because what is not as sexy is not as appealing. And then nobody knows what the sprint is. Nobody knows what an Olympic is. But everybody knows what an Ironman is, or 70.3, or 26.2, or 140.6. So I wish that was a little bit different. I'm hoping to shift that culture, and maybe that we have more people doing short. And I don't even like the word short course, because there's nothing short about it. Coming from the running community.
Yeah.
Right. So in the lineage of triathlon is short course, but yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing short about it. And it's when you, I come from a swimming background. So there's long course and there's short course, right? There's 50 meter pools and there's 25 yard or 25 meter pools. And so it makes sense to talk about it that way from triathlon perspective, but from
a running. But you have numbers. Yep. You have numbers. You have a 25 and you have 50. You have numbers. There's no numbers in sprint. There's no numbers in Olympic, unless you break it down by one of the components of the swim, the bike, or the run. There's no numbers.
And they're not standard.
They're not standard.
Right. We're like, Ironman is always standard. A half is always standard. Olympic is always standard, right? So
People look for patterns that they could figure out.
Is that you started hosting events to help bring some more, it seems like, levity to the sport. I love your email address, by the way.
So back in 2019, I think that was the last Ironman event I did. Yeah, because COVID was 2020. And I was sitting there and I realized there was less people that looked like me. Mm-hmm. Female, ethnic. There was pretty decent amount of people in my age group, race, but also my girlfriends, right? Because they were either burnt out or nobody wanted to train that long, as you said, for 70.3s and 140.6. So I'm like, okay, how can I bring my friends with me and make them be a part of it too? So for years, there was something called Lifetime had an indoor triathlon series. I would bring at least 20 athletes to each of them. Hmm. 1 hour. 1 hour and I can make you a triathlete. And I realized from there they got the bug. So once you give them a good experience, once they realize something is achievable, once they realize something is reachable, then they want to keep going. And so that's kind of how I got started into hosting events. And also sometimes people think triathlon is not inclusive. And when you say that, sometimes I think they're reacting to your sex, to your race, to your ethnicity, to your age, but sometimes it's more about culture and niche jargon. Yeah. It's like showing up in France and the only word you know is croissant, right? The people are talking, you don't understand each other. And they're looking at you like, you're in my country and you don't know how to, right? Or they're telling you, or you go to, all you know is cervezas and baños if you go to Mexico. You can't communicate. And so I remember showing up for a cycling ride, and this is the other thing that inspired. I ended up showing up on a cycling ride and they looked me up and down. And now they don't know how to talk to me because this cycling group was a bunch of dudes and they were geeking out. I mean, they're talking power wattage, they're talking crank arms, they're talking SRAM, they're talking Shimano, and they didn't realize I knew the language, and they kind of looked at me like they're waiting for me to say something. And as soon as I said something, they're like, oh! And then I realized there's a barrier there. There's a language and a niche barrier. You know, running, you show up, the only thing they talk about in running is fast and slow and what shoes you wear me.
Yeah.
As you get into cycling and triathlon, it's a whole culture. They speak a different language. And so some of the problems I realized we were having were that we're not attracting more people besides the Ironman snobs that are, turning a lot of people off. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't understand the jargon. So now when I race announce, I hope I answered that question.
Sure.
But I race announced and I was at a race and I looked in the line and they looked nervous. And I asked the guys, what's the number? And he said, we have about 30 to 40% new. Mm. And I'm looking at their race. Of course, everybody's nervous, but this seemed like a different kind of, they seemed lost. So they're supposed to get their packet and then they were supposed to get their timing chip and go to transition. A lot of them don't know what transition is. Mm-hmm. They don't know what a timing chip is. Mm-hmm. But when I told them, get a blue thingamajig to put it on your ankle, they understood exactly what that meant. So there's so many layers and things that are just so different when it comes to running and pure cycling events that make triathlon learning curve a little bit more.
Yeah.
So that is why I started hosting events. That's why we have community swims. That's why we have community rides, to give people the opportunity to meet others to talk to without being a club or a clique. That's another thing. Clubs become cliquish.
Very much.
They doing dinners together. They got matching shirts. They wives are playing golfs at the same time. It becomes a clique, right? And if you don't fit right in, like a Lego piece.
Yep. Yep.
It's not good. So
yeah, we have a local, very large team here. And it becomes very clicky. I used to help coach with them. And one of their things that they do is they have like a big grill out and like grill all this food during races. Mm-hmm. And if you used to be a part of the team and you want to say hi to your friends, you're not allowed to go say hi to your friends. You cannot go to their area. Their friends have to leave that area to go hang out with you. But you, as a former member,
they have barricades up.
It's
they got
insane.
Security,
right? To me, as we talked previously, I had an epiphany that triathlon is a very inclusive sport, but only because I was working with people that made it inclusive. Where previously, I had been surrounded by people that made it very inclusive. And so I never made that connection until basically last year, which then prompted me to kind of jump on to TriSwim Coach and start doing things. Because it should be more inclusive. It should be more accessible. Because just like cycling, swimming has a terminology issue as well. The things that we say.
Well, have you ever read Just Swim Workout?
What was that?
Have you ever read Your Swim Workout?
Yeah.
And pretended that you didn't even know what a flipper was?
Oh, reading a workout is like, you're doing math. You're reading another language. You're reading shorthand sometimes, right?
You think I got my contacts in and I can see the clock on the wall?
Yeah, right? I'll never forget. I used to coach specifically just a triathlon group. And I remember saying something to the effect of, oh, descending. We're going to descend 1 to 4. Okay. In their minds, that didn't make any sense to go slow to fast, because how is that descending? I'm starting slow and getting faster. But what they don't realize is it's a term that comes from time. I'm descending the time in which it takes me to swim at 50, because they were all doing rest intervals versus actual interval swimming. So it didn't make any sense to them.
So why couldn't you just say we're going to swim faster each from 1 to 4?
And I started to, because I took that criticism and I learned. Right?
That's constructive criticism.
Yeah, absolutely, right? I'm always going to try to meet people. This?
Try to go faster each one so that the fourth one is your fastest. Jesus.
Right. Right. And so we get into these little like conversations about swimming vocabulary and vernacular. And they were, well, what's the difference between descending and building? Why have a distinction? Well, descending's always over a series of distances, where building is always within a distance. And they were like, what? Just tell me what to do.
You said always, and you used the word I was looking for, I couldn't find before, vernacular. But you said always. Mm-hmm. Always in the swimming community. So you see, triathlon is swim, bike, run. And so now the swim experts come, the cycling experts come, the run experts come, and all of those things are not triathlon. Triathlon is swim, bike, run, all done in one time. And so therefore, I think that we should adapt a lot of those things and get rid of all those things that are not pertinent to us.
I agree. It just adds confusion. Yeah, no, yes, I agree. It adds so much confusion. And then at some point, if someone doesn't feel confident in what their workout is or what they're reading, or just confident in, I have no idea what this person's talking about, they drop the sport, right? They drop their desire, because it's like, well, this is just not for me, right?
Or they have nowhere to go. So right. We've used YouTube a lot. There are a few, maybe beginner triathlete. There are a few like online portals where you could kind of go get information. And I try to make sure that we have a blog that break things down, or you could go find information. And so that's where the club kind of comes into our name, to be like a virtual club. So here's how, like the word transition, it means 4 different things.
Yeah.
So I did a short video on that, and then a blog on that. And hopefully making it a virtual club, you avoid kind of being a click.
Yeah.
And everybody can have access to the information. But you are absolutely right. I think triathlon needs, and then triathlon has its own lingo.
Right.
So I don't know how to fix that problem without giving people the experiences. And it's like hands-on training. Until you get it, you get it. I don't know about your area, but short course is, there are a number of short course races that have gone away in the Austin, Texas area.
Oh, okay.
And in a lot of few places, short course races or local races were either obliterated by Ironman coming in, or the numbers descended so much that it just didn't make things viable anymore, because they didn't have the community support.
Right.
So not having those short courses, then what are they going to do? Jump straight into 70.3s?
Right. Insane to think that's okay for just anyone to do. That's kind of sad to hear. That's actually kind of sad to hear.
How's the racing in your vicinity?
It's actually been very consistent for like the last, seems like last 15 to 20 years. The same short course races, or we'll say shorter races, are taking place as they were before. I don't believe, maybe a few have been added.
But how about the numbers of finishers at those races? Have they been consistent? That's a good question.
I don't know off the top of my head, but they do seem to be fairly consistent based off of my anecdotal experience with like people coming to see me to say, I'm going to be doing this race. And I know those races. So it's like, oh, okay, great. It's a good race for you to start with, right? So,
Got it. You know,
you have a better insight because you're a race director and you kind of know these things probably a little bit better.
But in your area, you have, you're out, besides California, I think DC has a very healthy triathlon community. You have the disposable income, and then you have some races that are sustainable. And you have a long tri season, but you have a good bookend, right? So there's a good ramp up. So I think outside of California and Texas, I think DC is the next hot spot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Florida might be, but from my perspective here in DC, people get started in April and they usually end around November. But I know people that
Yeah,
will
that's a
go.
huge bookend. And some people, theirs is like May to September or May to August. And so that's really good sometimes. I have a lot of friends that live in the DMV area and they're between, I think the Columbia Duathlon was just last week. That's another thing. You have a lot of duathlons or multi-sports in that area
You
that
do.
you don't seem to have as viable in outside of that area.
Had no idea.
No idea?
I had no idea. Like, I have a ton of athletes that do duathlons and aqua bikes and all types of stuff like that. It's always so weird to like kind of explore outside of your bubble, you know? You're like, oh yeah, everyone works out all the time. Isn't that what it's like everywhere else in the country?
No, it's not.
Right? I mean, Arlington County is always one of like the fittest places to live in the country. And then recently, Arlington has been nominated as the happiest place to live in the country. And so it's like, oh, we
Fit,
must be doing something
happy.
okay over here.
You got a lot of singles in I'm married, by the way, but that's just
Like, why are you married?
I need the stats on that. I need the demo breakdown.
I could speak to Arlington. Arlington is a full of is very young and very single. So,
See, there you go. There you go.
for
Had a
sure.
feeling it was skewing
So,
that way.
yeah. So how can people get involved in your community swims and bikes? Is that free? Is it, how's that all go?
Yes, so it is free. One of the things that we've opted to for our community swims, they're kayak supported. And we used to have a weekly swim. And then we realized it was only Ironman athletes showing up for the weekly swims. I support everybody.
Sure, absolutely.
Water safety is very tantamount. Sometimes some people get panic attacks, they get sipe. It's just a fear. That's very real and rational to them.
Absolutely.
So I figured the more you know something and you become more familiar with it, it stomps the fear out and therefore you make you more successful. So we had it every Wednesday morning, and we had one or two people new to triathlons come out. And then we started to see a lot of Ironman athletes. So I said, you know what? This is not our intended audience. If you are swimming a mile, you've already reached. Let's move it to every Saturday. Let's make it kayak supported. And let's find a free accessible lake. And let's create a swim along course shore.
Nice.
So I was talking to a tri coach who's also swim focused. And she said, hey, I'm going to send some of my athletes out to your swim. And I said, yeah, just remind them I have a swim along course shore too. And she said, hey, you should come swim with us on Fridays. We have a special spot on Lake Travis. And we welcome new swimmers too. And we tell them, you know, you could swim along shore and use the shore to for sighting. And I said to her, what do they do? Do they swim out to the buoy with you? I said yes, because you didn't legitimize, you didn't make it a physical thing. So now you have the I'm not good enough, or I have to do what you're do, or you like cycling, I got to follow the leader kind of thing. And they're not there. So we physically went and made, I got like two big rubber duckies and we put them there. And they have other things to sort. And we had 30 swimmers show up to our first opening season last month. That's more than any other club, free or otherwise. And of those 30, we had about 12 to 15 that was new. The other 15, they swam out. We had three kayak supports out there. And then as the people were learning, I said, hey, if you want to work on Saturday and you want to work on drills, this is perfect. It came up to about chest. So you had a good catch, a good swim. And it got a little bit deeper as you went west to the other buoy, but you could still stand up if you had to. And one lady, I saw a collision about to happen. And I said, hey, look up. So they could still hear me. I could still stand out. And then they learned about sighting. They learned about, you know what, every three or four. And that's a perfect little zone to try as to being out in the lake. And then you feel like you're in an abyss or a washing machine.
Yeah.
So we have those community swims. So I thought not to burn out the team once a month, 2 weeks before every major race.
Nice.
I don't want them to be a detriment to others. So yeah. We went to a local race. I still race. And the lady goes, I'm a little bit nervous. I have never been in open water. They pulled the lady from the water. I'm not judging. I sound snobby.
No.
But you have to think now, when she's frailing or she's having a panic attack, okay. So now the next lady comes in as a black lady. She's right before me, and I actually seed myself behind her on purpose. She's new, her first sprint triathlon, and she's swimming and she's about to go into a kayak, but I remember her name. And the kayak doesn't see her because the kayak is facing this way and she's coming this way. The kayak is facing this way, she's coming this way. So I start calling her name, look up, look up. And then she look up like 2 feet in front of the kayak. Kayaker had no idea she was coming her way. So those little things. Now she's swimming. She could have hit her head or she could have hit somebody else, hit the kayak, and then the kayak hit somebody in the head.
Right.
So having those community swims, I think, is really important to me for the safety, to keep racing healthy and to give people that safe space so they could explore. And then we have a weekly community rides. It's on a bike path, so we don't have to worry too, and some local roads, but neighborhood roads, we don't have to worry about. All bikes are welcome. All bikes could do it. But it has so many little technical turns and S's. You actually have to learn your gears. You have to realize it's kind of like an interval. We got two routes, 1 hour each. And you get to learn, you get to climb, you get to descend. It's like a bike class, on the job bike class training. And there's so many people after that, they've said, oh my God, I learned my gears. Or, oh my God, I know how to descend. Or I've learned how to use my brakes properly. So all of these little things, sometimes people just get on the bike and they just ride and they don't realize that their bike rides could either be easier or faster or safer, because even some things like showing them how to change a tire or put air, proper air inflation in their tires. Remember 10 years ago, the guy goes, air is free speed. And I put some air in this lady and she started zooming. She was like, oh man, that helps. I just thought I suck.
I love those little things. Those little things that make huge impacts.
Those little things is my joy for continuing to do it. And then we have a female triathlon, we have cycling events, and we have a running event. So we try to make sure we have a good portfolio of mass participation events. But really, the joy is in the community swims and in the weekly bike rides, because then you get to touch everybody and you get to make sure that you live vicariously through them. Because you're not worrying about, it's not a training ride. Right. You're not worrying about your stats. You're not worrying. It might be it's not a training ride, but you could get your training done with us, but it's not a training ride. And that's a big difference.
Yeah. I like that thought, actually. I think you brought up a really great point about athletes who go to races without ever being in open water. And that's their first time. It's not just unsafe for them. It's unsafe for everybody. It's just in our area, it's one of the saddest things. Even though we have this really long season for triathlon, there's not great water for us to swim in. It's very frustrating. There's groups that swim in the Potomac, but the Potomac's disgusting, and I don't believe that you should swim in water that you wouldn't want to ingest, because you will ingest it. And so if you don't want to ingest that water, don't swim in it. So
do you swim in it on race day?
People do, but Nations Try. That's a try that used to happen all the time. And every year, the swim was always canceled because of the water quality. Mm-hmm. All right? They don't have it anymore. But yet groups still swim in that water, and the Potomac is getting cleaner, but it's still not, in my opinion, a good body of water to practice in. I have a lot of marathon swimmers that practice in it, and they'll tell me that I'm being, you know, a little cautious. But what they don't understand is they can be getting parasites or infections in their sinuses and things in their ears and not even realize it's happening until a year or two later. So, you know, we don't mess with it, basically. So we go up to a natural system.
So where are the other races occurring?
There, you have to get special permission, right? You have to have permits, and it's really frustrating. So we swim in Annapolis when we can, but the window for Annapolis is very brief because of jellyfish. So basically we have until like the beginning of May to mid-June, and then like clockwork, the jellyfish come out at like June 15th, and you cannot swim in that water unless you love being stung by jellyfish. And that lasts until about, I think, mid-October, basically. So like the bay swim, a 4.4 mile swim, it's done in the bay right before the jellyfish come, right? Everything's sort of like geared around making sure people don't get destroyed by jellyfish, right? So we have to travel a lot to do, I would say, meaningful open water. And so it's just, it can be very difficult to find those opportunities. And one of the things that I was trying to do last year, and I'm definitely going to be doing in 2025, maybe with your help, is setting up a training camp in Austin in January. It's something that I would really like to be able to do. I fell in love with visiting Austin. I don't think Austin needs more people to move there, but it's it's a great, it was a great town to see beginner triathletes sort of learn the skills and practice those skills. So I would love to get back there and do something, do some open water classes or open water clinic, and maybe some bike run stuff too. We'll see. I'll talk to you later about that.
When you have a developing city like or Central Texas area that's booming, I am constantly losing my marbles. That's not the word I want to use, but losing my marbles because we are constantly under pressure with construction, with new neighborhoods going up. So our countryside for bike rides, open roads is diminishing. And we don't have a plethora of bike paths or trails to train on. So now when there's a risk factor besides the swim, there's a risk factor in getting new people to ride is because if they don't find a group ride, they're not going to go out there by themselves. And it's now when you have group rides and you have newbies and you have roads and cars buzzing, that no longer becomes fun.
Yep.
So I think we have that to, I think we need to redefine really what triathlon is. You talked about open water, and I refuse, each triathlon I've had has had a pool swim. Do I have a shortage of open water? I do not. Why? I want to make sure I have consistent water quality. I want to make sure that I don't have people siping or drowning. And most people train in that environment. Let's make it, if it's shorter in distance, a 300, a 400, then also the earlier they're out on the bike course, the less exposed to the sleepy person trying to go out there and buy Starbucks in the middle of the morning and being a risk to the athletes. So when I design courses for that, I think that there's some people feel that if it's not in open water, it's not a true triathlon, or they look down on pool triathlons. But I think there are some, as all of the reasons you mentioned for the Potomac, those are reasons for a pool triathlon.
Yeah. I just, whenever I have clients tell me that they're going to be doing a pool swim, I just warn them that a lot of the times people misseat themselves. And sometimes it's intentional, sometimes it's not intentional, and there's bound to be a traffic jam. And I just give them that heads up, you know, just know it's coming. But that's probably true for open water too, right? There's going to be traffic jams around buoys and things like that. So it's kind of a nice introduction.
Always around the buoys. It's like, wait a minute. And then why are you clinging? And then I'm like, oh, I cannot.
You almost just made me spit my coffee out.
See, now it makes me sound snobbish, but I'm not. I'm just saying it's like the unsafest places to be is to swim towards a buoy and realize there's 26 people holding the buoy.
Yeah. Right. But everyone has the same idea because it's mostly a lack of experience. Right. If they had experience, they would know that buoys are bottlenecks. They're not great places to hang out. They need to move on. Right. If they need to, they get off the course and they could float on their back.
So this is why I say sprint triathlons are very important. And I welcome that kind of traffic in a sprint triathlon because now they have on the job training. They know what to do next time. So in all fairness, even though we're laughing, I wouldn't expect that same thing at a 70.3, but it's been happening more and more at 70.3s because they haven't done Olympics and they haven't done sprint. And that's where I'm mad. I'm mad as hell. Sprints, I'm okay with that. I'll swim around. But 70.3, I'm mad as hell. I'm mad. And yeah. Now when you start doing that, the kayakers start coming closer and then it narrows your channel for passing or you have to sight more because you don't want to run into a kayak or the kayak is trying to rescue this person or they're swimming this way to get to the kayak and you're trying to swim this way and then you can't cuss them out because you're going to get water in your mouth. So you just have to keep mind your business and keep swimming. But that is why we have sprints. And so when I see that at a sprint, okay, I'm happy. You just make sure you have extra kayak support or people who can encourage them, hey, just swim to the next buoy. And that's why how races are set up are very important to accommodate new and experienced folks. There's some courses not good for newbies, good for the guy with the zip wheels and who's been doing triathlons. He's going to come out feeling like a gladiator and then go, what took you so long? And you want to cuss?
Yes, and I would say pro tip, you just gave a great tip. In open water, when you are swimming open water or racing, doesn't matter, you might get pissed off. You might feel vexed that someone ran into you. Just keep going. Let it go. Let it be water off of a duck's back. Let it roll right off of your back and keep going. Why would you stop and lose all of your momentum and all of your energy to get angry at somebody? You know, I've been told plenty of stories of people like stopping because like from my client's perspective, they were swimming, they were drafting off of somebody and that person didn't like it. So that person stopped and tried to punch them while they were swimming. Well, you're not throwing a punch very well into water. It's not going to happen. So that person literally just stopped to try to punch one of my clients and my client just kept going and that person just wasted all their time and energy and then had to start all that momentum again. So don't bother getting angry about it. Just keep going. Everyone's kind of doing their own thing.
Coaches, I think, and I'm saying, I'm just giving a message to the coaches, especially coaches and club leaders. Please inform your athletes that swimming in open water is a contact sport. So when you get touched for the first time, you freak out. Because you didn't get touched in the pool, you didn't get touched in training, and you were like, was it intentional? And it is a contact sport. So therefore, if you don't want to be in contact, swim longer, swim extra, swim wider. But make cut off, right?
Yeah, yeah. And that's, don't feel bad.
I think that's what shocks a lot of people.
Yeah.
Or people don't realize, coaches, message for the coaches, when you have a newbie race or people wearing wetsuits and half the field is not wearing wetsuits, the wetsuit people will roll right over the non-wetsuit people and don't even know or feel it.
Right.
So that's annoying because now you realize, wait a minute, this guy just swam over me, but he didn't even feel it. He didn't know.
Right.
So that's one of those... that wetsuit game that sometimes when it's like barely 78.1 and half the field puts it on, and even though they start last, they swim over all the slower swimmers and it becomes unsafe.
But yeah, very much so.
That's one of those things until you race a while, you realize, hey, this happens.
So how can people find events that you're hosting through this summer into the fall? How can people join your events or join your community swims and bike rides?
So swimbikerunfun.net. That's how you find us. Everything that we do, we try to make fun. We try to break the ice. So yes, you're going to see rubber duckies with shades and lipstick on at our swim events. So fun open water swims, look it up. If you want to do that, we have a hippo dash. I'm in Hutto and the town mascot is a hippo. We got hippos on the course, right? And then we have Pink Strong Ride and Pink Strong Triathlon. So any Pink Strong event is ours. You know, sometimes I struggle with when you share swimbikerunfun.net, one of our goals is to bring more females and more minorities and more newbies into the sport. And I struggle, you know, sometimes when you make it all female, that's really not inclusive. That's actually exclusive.
Yeah.
And now in Austin, we have so many gender neutral tendencies. I don't know what the right word is, that I'm always like shocked. So we, all of our things are open, but we want to make sure that we cater to new folks. We want to cater to minorities and we want to cater to women. And you go to like the PTO race in Dallas, let's just say there was 100 people, 75 were dudes.
Wow.
That the ladies looked around and transitioned like, is this all we got? So I don't know. And women got other families, they got other things. So women race with other friends. So how can you make a race appealing to a professional, a mom, to the lady, your next door neighbor? Once you have that base, then I think you'll continue to have the livelihood of triathlon live on. So we try to make things as fun as possible and not always about gear, not always about time. We love to be fabulous. I figure that's an easy ask. But, you know, somebody goes, oh, I finish in 10 minutes. And I'm happy. But would I walk around talking about, oh, my God, you could have done it in 9? No, I'm not going to bust their bubble. So once you make them successful in increment blocks, they go on.
Yeah, I that's a great point. I think one of my mentors, who I'll have on the podcast in a couple of weeks, you know, his point to his athletes was basically just finishing a triathlon is a feat in itself, right? Because there's so many things that can go wrong within a triathlon compared to maybe like a swimming race, right? I'm doing a 200 freestyle. That's going to take me about a minute and 50 seconds. Not a lot's going to go wrong in a minute and 50 seconds. But if I'm doing something that takes an hour, well, I could have two flats in that time. I could crash into several people in the swim and have to stop. I can get, you know, a sprained ankle on the run. There's so many variables in triathlon that if you finish and you cross that finish line and you don't feel some joy in just finishing, then you're probably in the wrong sport. Over time, it's fun to watch yourself improve, but just the finish is like kind of an awesome feat within itself. And that's something I really appreciate thinking about coming from a competitive swimming background.
Exactly. On our community group rides, you know how you go, you show up A group, B group, what's the pace, the route. Sometimes it can be draining.
Yeah.
So one of the things is we have a spicy route and a jazzy route. The lady goes, oh, I'm a slow rider. I don't care. You could do one of these two routes. And that removes some of the pressure off of being fast or being slow. And then there's one other point I want to make to the world. Sometimes if you ride between 8 and 13 miles per hour, some people call you slow. Some people call you beginners. Some people call you social riders. They have some people who are Ironman athletes, retired, and they just like riding at a casual pace, but they're not a beginner. But this is the pace that they feel comfortable at because they want to see the brooks. They want to see the butterflies. They want to talk to their friends. They're not trying to bust a hamstring. They want to go have coffee and taco afterwards. And I wish that our sport just really stop focusing on gear and times. And I think that will attract and keep more people longer. I mean, you have some marathon runners in their 80s and 90s, and they run a marathon, a half marathon, 5, 10, all year long. their burnout rate is not the same as I think for triathlon. Even though we're doing more, I think that there's always the talk about the need for speed, buying gear. And I think we just become about gear and times, or somebody go, oh, I'm talking to this guy and he goes, you know, she's a 6-hour finisher. Oh, she finished a race? Yeah, you know, 6 hours. Oh, what the hell is that supposed to mean? Are you trying to say she's slow? It was a 70.3 and he's like, ah, you know, a respectable time is 4 hours. For who?
I was 6 hours for a 70.3. I'd be very satisfied.
So that was his dog whistle to tell me a lot about this person and what he thought about, that they were slow. You know, they just...
Yeah, whatever. You know, yeah.
Whatever. I'm like, I think you're the fool, not this person. Matter of fact, they got more for their money. They enjoyed the course. And now you sitting around waiting for them.
With your busted hamstring.
That's my message to the triathlon world. Worry less about gear and times and more about finishing.
Yeah, I think that's a great message to end on. I only can echo that sentiment. I think that triathlon gives an opportunity for variation in training, which is important to stay stimulated, right? Variety is the spice of life. And, you know, getting involved in triathlon isn't only about getting your best time. Does it feel good to get your best time? Absolutely. But it's also about having community and lifestyle that promotes being healthy and being fit. And the most important thing we have in our lives, I believe, is our mental and physical health. Without them, what's the point? So you might as well find something that you can share with your friends and family and enjoy. Maybe it's triathlon outright. Maybe it's just cycling. Maybe it's just running. Maybe it's just swimming. And maybe every once in a while, everyone gets together and does a race together. Who knows, right? But that's how I think about it. I feel like I can talk to you all day, by the way. So we need to probably figure end this conversation now.
You said something I really disagree with. That's why I'm laughing.
Go ahead. Tell me.
Most people do triathlons to challenge themselves and to feel like gladiators. So put some respect on triathlon when you're talking about, oh, it's about community, it's about swimming. But no, they come out, when you cross that finish line, you feel like you done hit beast mode.
That's so fair.
Put some respect on the finish line. No, most people don't just decide to do a triathlon. Some people have to learn to swim. Some people have to learn to bike. I mean, they really working hard, even for a short course or a sprint. There are many people who had to learn how to swim to complete a sprint. So when they cross that finish line, literally it's like you become a Roman gladiator and the whole crowd roaring for you because you worked your ass off to get there. So
I agree 100%.
All right.
Like I said, I could keep going on, but I'm not going to. I know you've got to go. So, all right. Any last way or any other ways people can reach out to you or contact you, right? You can shout out to the website again.
SwimBikeRunFun.net. We are also SBR Fun Events online on Instagram and Facebook. I'm Camille Baptiste. I think that's it. I'm not really, I'm a people person, but when it comes to social, I'm like,
What do you mean by social? Like social media? You're like,
I'm super social, but when it comes to social media, it's draining.
It is.
It is draining. So SBR Fun Events is on Facebook and on Instagram and www.swimbikerunfun.net. You find out everything that we're doing there. And if it has fun in it, it's probably one of our events.
Camille, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I can't wait to have more conversations with you, to be honest. So I'll let you go and we will touch base soon. All right.
It was nice talking to you. Thank you for the invitation.
Always, always a pleasure. All right. I will talk to you later.